Sawadee Kap, welcome to another edition of House of Attilius Presents the True Victory Podcast. This is Eric Rook. So, I've been away for a little bit, had kind of a busy schedule, and really haven't had a whole lot to talk about and stuff until recently here. So, jumping right into things, the homeless situation around the country, is kind of ever growing, ever expanding, if you will. California has a huge issue with it. Phoenix, where I live here, has a big issue with it as well. Now, the homeless situation, everybody's got their kind of ideas on how things need to be done to help curb the homeless issue or eliminate the issue in itself. I think there's sometimes a disconnect, the way we think, the way we view homeless. And, before I get into my story here, the one thing we have to remember is, people that are homeless are people. They're human beings just like you and I. Their circumstances in life vary as to how they wound up being homeless. I think you have some that are just, they're capable of reentering life and, holding a job. They just choose not to for whatever reason. So, just being homeless is kind of more beneficial for them for some unknown reason. And then you have other ones, I think, that have, circumstances that just kind of led them to that. Not that they really wanted to wind up in that position, but nonetheless, that's kind of where they are. And I think for some of them, the longer that they're homeless in those, it's harder for them to integrate back into society. And, but again, they're people. And, we can't think of them otherwise, or anything different than people. I've had somebody kind of in my ear over the last few weeks, when discussing the homeless issue here and, in California and stuff like that, use the word eradicate. Now, they were, was in the conversation, they said that basically, the homeless, population or whatever, the homeless people need to be eradicated. And that word, and I'll say this, a word is a word. And a word is only, offensive or whatever, if we kind of mean, if there's a context there, and we take it like that. But, for me to hear eradicate, and what it does for me is like, eradicate has been used over the centuries, over the years, for just a lot of bad things, Hitler and the Jews, for instance, So when somebody tells me that the homeless, homeless people or homeless population, we just need to eradicate it, that to me, just kind of paints a negative picture in my mind on how, a person or a group of people or whatever want to deal with the homeless. Now, nobody likes homeless people for the most part, in their neighborhoods and stuff like that when they start to kind of trickle in, brings down property values, all this other stuff and everything else. So, I understand that. Do we have a proper system for dealing with the homeless? Do we understand every single homeless person's, what's going on with them and stuff like that? I've not personally sat down and talked to people that work at shelters that deal with homeless people on a day in and day out basis. They might have a little better idea on just kind of a lot of different things. Now, for myself, over the past few weeks, I've been down in and around the homeless shelters in downtown Phoenix here, And, you know, I will say my first couple times down that way, it's pretty intimidating, especially when you're heading down there towards dusk. You know, it kind of reminds you of watching maybe, you know, a horror movie where you have like, or, you know, or The Walking Dead or something like that. I don't mean this in a negative sense. It's just kind of, you know, painting that picture where your mind kind of goes. Because there's a lot, it's like they come, more of them come out at night than they are during the day and everything like that. So, you know, when I had to go down there and into one of the main buildings and stuff, and it's like kind of right at the end of this kind of cul-de-sac, if you will, where it's gated off at the end. And, you know, you see Phoenix PD, you see all the homeless, and just everybody's in kind of different conditions, different shapes as far as health-wise and stuff like that. You know, it does get a little bit intimidating your first couple of times down there because you really don't know what to expect. And like with anything, you know, with homeless people, I mean, you almost guarantee you have people that are capable of harming others, you know, violence, destruction, that sort of thing. And then you have another side of the population that just isn't, you know, capable of going that route, and they're just, you know, whatever, doing their thing. So, you know, I'm not naive enough to believe, well, you know, I'm used to it now. When I go down there, I'll be safe. No, I always got my kind of eyes open, you know, especially if I go down there, you know, around dusk and so, because again, you never know. And, but the thing is kind of like we, to pigeonhole, okay, you know, all homeless people, you know, are violent or this or that. That's not true. You know, I think you have, the way I view it is, you have a society within a society, basically. So you have normal, quote unquote, whatever society, where people live, they work, have families, all this stuff. In that bigger bubble of society, you have people that, you know, are violent, you know, harm others, you know, create destruction, etc. In homeless encampments, you have the same thing. Okay. Now, this is just my observation, my opinion, and everything. But again, so you're just looking at a smaller snapshot, if you will. You know, so it's kind of like I'll use as a frame of reference when I went to Thailand for a few weeks. Had a lot of people back here, you know, message me. It's like, oh, you know, it's a third world country. Is there a lot of this, a lot of that going on out there? Well, Thailand is no different in a lot of areas than it is here in the US or other places. You still have crime, you know, you still have drugs, you still have this, you still have that. You know, the economies might be a little bit different, but as far as, you know, feeling safe, I mean, I never felt in danger when I was in Thailand. No more than I would feel endangered, you know, here in the States. If you put yourself in a dangerous position, you know, or you just don't stay alert enough to kind of keep all your senses aware of what's going around you, yeah, you're probably gonna, you know, invite something in unwillingly and, you know, go through that. But you know, so it's but back to the homeless situation here before I get too much off track. You know, the more I've gone down to that shelter area and stuff, and they have a, you know, some medical buildings and this and that and everything, but you know, you'll see a lot of tents and everything too out front lining the streets nearby. The only place you won't see them is by the historical cemetery. You know, that's off limits and stuff, and they do a pretty good job of keeping people away from there. But otherwise, you know, it's just, it's interesting because you'll see tents that you would buy at a sporting goods store, and then you'll just see tarps and other things and stuff like that. And it's just, you know, to run across, you know, a person or people that are homeless and panhandling on the freeway entrance ways or exits and stuff like that is one thing. But to get down into the heart of it and really see it firsthand up close and see the people, It's, I mean, I've seen really just all, there is just a wide range of different people, you know, and I don't mean races. I just mean, you know, you have people that are very just disheveled, yeah, disheveled. And you know, you can tell their health is not the greatest and everything. And you have some that look like they are fairly healthy and, you know, a little bit younger than some of the other ones and stuff. So it's really kind of, it's a really kind of intriguing mix of, you know, people. It's not just everybody who just kind of looks like the stereotypical homeless. So, but with each of those people, there's a story behind why they're there. You know, and again, some people it just might be by choice, you know, and there's really not much of an amazing story there. There's just a, you know what, tired of life, this and that, screw it, this is where I'm going to wind up. And then you have others that, you know, again, you know, circumstances in their life just kind of led them, you know, to where they're at and stuff and everything. So, you know, really what kind of captured me, because I see over the past few weeks and stuff, I've seen my fair share. And a lot of them, I wouldn't, honestly, probably most of them, I wouldn't, you know, you go down there a second, third time, whatever, I probably wouldn't recognize most of them, you know, unless I spoke to them directly or something, you know. And so last week, I was down there and I was waiting to go inside the main building, the administration building that's there and stuff and everything. And you know, there was this gentleman, older gentleman, really kind of unkempt, gray, bushy beard, you know, and you know, he appeared really just kind of frail. His clothes very just disheveled, dirty, hunched over slightly, and you know he really couldn't walk very well on his own. His balance was terrible. You know, coming out of the doorway, he had to hold on to the door jamb just to kind of steady himself. And then his footing, you know, really wasn't. He didn't really have the confidence, I guess, if you will, or you know the. He, you could tell he didn't feel secure in his step. So it was kind of like the more of a, wasn't so much of a step as it was a shuffle. And, you know, he was shaking as well a little bit too. And as I was waiting to get in, he saw me and, you know, kind of, you know, panicked, not really panicked, but just kind of, you know, when somebody is like, oh, I'm in your way and tries to hurry up, he started to do that. And I just, you know, I'm kind of like, no, just take your time. And, you know, once I said that, it just automatically, now, my line of sight, my focus went right to the gold wedding ring on his finger. I don't know why, you know, normally in most cases, it's kind of like, I don't get that detailed unless there's something. When I focus on something, it's, you know, because there's something of importance there. There's a reason for it. And I don't always know that reason unless I talk to the person or something like that. And I didn't literally have a chance to, you know, talk to him that day or anything like that. But that wedding ring stood out to me, you know, gold band, very clear as day in my mindset. He is still very clear. His image and everything, and you know, my mindset. Even with other people I've run into down there and stuff, and going in and out, and everything that might be unique in a way to where I could identify. I, you know, most of them I'm not gonna pick up, but this guy just he really stood out to me. Appearance does kind of, you know, help the memory a little bit with that, but that ring is what, you know, I just had kind of this tunnel vision that locked onto the ring. And the best way to describe is when something really captures my attention and there's something of importance behind it. And it's, you know, there's a reason why I'm focusing on it, and I don't always know. It is tunnel vision, basically. So what I see is like everything is blocked out, you know, around me, or just kind of like, not necessarily blacked out, but it's kind of like blurry, or just kind of, kind of like in your photo editor. If you take, and let's just say you want to emphasize a certain object, you'll keep that object clear, but the rest of it will be kind of like, you know, around the object. You'll make it kind of like it could be blurry. It could be just kind of like glassed over, like frosted glass over or something like that. There's this term for it and stuff, and I'm just kind of not remembering it right now, but that's what it's like when I hone in on something. And it happens inadvertently. I don't, it's just something that just draws me in about it. So when that happens, and it's inadvertent, like I said, it's inadvertent that it happens and stuff. It really just kind of, it tells me there's a level of importance there with that object. And so what I could kind of sense or deduct just from that ring is probably part of, if not maybe mostly, the reason why he is in the condition that he's in and why he is homeless. Like I said, I mean, it would be really interesting to, if I had the opportunity to sit down with him and just talk, you know, and just find out why, you know, what's going on, and, you know, the history, you know, like how he wound up being where he is, and, you know, what's behind the ring, because there's an importance there. Now, again, you know, I mean, I know some people can wear rings just to wear them and all that fun stuff, but with him, I didn't get that. There's something behind there. His story largely is centered around that ring. That's what I got. That's a sense that I picked up. And, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I think it's just everything, but especially that ring, is just kind of what makes him stand out in my mindset. What, you know, when I go down there again, and, you know, I don't know if I'll see him again down there. It's hard to say, you know, but, you know, he'll stand out to me, you know, instantly and everything. But it's just kind of, you know, the more time you kind of really spend around them, you know, just in kind of going through that areas, the more you start viewing, you know, the situation differently. You know, not everybody becomes this kind of like eyesore on society. You really start to not view them that way. But again, it's, I think, you know, people, we want this perfect society, but yet we don't want this perfect society. You know, we want a society where, well, we just need to get rid of the homeless. You know, we need to clean up the streets, we need to do this. And, you know, I mean, I grant you, you know, I'll give you that. You know, I think something needs to be done to combat the homeless. I mean, we're spending a ton of money in a lot of different areas, but apparently the homeless is kind of like one area we neglect for some unknown reason. I'm not quite sure why. But, you know, at the end of the day, for as much as we can't, let's just put it this way. We can't handle a perfect society right now. We would just, it would implode. We thrive on what we are thriving on right now. You know, violence, carnage, hatred, all this other fun stuff. And that is kind of what partially fuels society and a little bit of society's comfort zone, in my opinion. You know, if everybody was happy 24/7, life was flowing, and no, it's not going to work, because we're not in that place right now. A lot of us are, to where we could accept something like that. You know, we've been born into, a lot of us, or most of us pretty much, born into a world of, let's just say, chaos and violence. I mean, if you want hell, welcome to Earth. You know, and I mean, Earth is a beautiful place, don't get me wrong, but just, we create our own hell here. We literally do, you know. So are homeless people, you know, is the homeless problem a, you know, is this due to something that we are doing as a society? Maybe part of it. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to talk to people at homeless, that work in homeless shelters. But I think ultimately, too, you would have to just sit down and talk with various people that literally are homeless. Why are they there? Why, you know, what is preventing you from, you know, reentering society, getting a job, getting back on your feet, maybe reuniting with your families and everything else? You know, and granted, again, some people won't. They're not going to reintegrate into society. They're not going to reunite with their families, or just content, it seems, to be on the streets, you know, so that's where they're going to stay. Others might be struggling to find that balance, to find that grasp. I mean, the longer you are out on the streets, you know, the harder it is, I think, to get your mind rewired and get back into the routine of a job and everything else, because you've been gone for so long. I mean, look what happened last year with the pandemic. You know, people, you know, had to stay home and work, and some people just collected unemployment along with, you know, the bonus on unemployments, if you will, or whatever you want to call that. And they made more money than they did at their job. And now that things are opening back up and people are going back to work, there's a lot of people that don't want to go back to work. They don't want to put in the work. And that's a short time window that people weren't working. And yet the mindset is like, oh, I enjoy not doing anything. It's just, I don't want to go back to work. I don't want to work for this. I don't want to, you know. So much in the same way, you know, I think there needs to be, you can't force people back into, integrate back into society, because that's not going to work. I think, you know, there needs to be a certain, there needs to be something different done. Now, I don't know all the, you know, I don't know, I'm not aware of all the programs that are going on right now, you know, with the shelter down in Phoenix that they have to, you know, reintegrate, you know, people on the streets back into society with jobs and everything else. I mean, there's plenty of jobs out there right now. But again, you know, I think, you know, a place of employment, social security number, all this stuff is, you know, plays a part, you know, kind of your red tape, so to speak. And, you know, the other question might be is, you know, somebody coming off the streets from a long period of time, or whatever, are they going to be that reliable where they're going to show up right away and stuff like that? And I think that's another issue too, is that, you know, you might get them, you might have a business that hires homeless, you know, and maybe that person shows up for a couple of days and then they just kind of like old habits die hard and they're back out on the streets again, you know, just because it's just kind of, that's what's ingrained in them. So, well, I think there's a benefit to homeless shelters. I think they can only do so much. I think if a person is capable and willing to work, you know, that is homeless and willing to kind of figure out their way back into society, if that's what they truly want, I think they can do it. It's just going to take some time and it's going to take a little handholding too. And I don't know that homeless shelters necessarily have that. You know, I mean, when I've been there, I don't see them being like overstaffed with help. I think they, you know, I mean, they do accept volunteers and stuff like that, but, you know, and I'm not knocking anybody that works for the shelters, you know, on a volunteer basis or just on a, you know, paid basis, if you will, but how invested are they in each person that comes in there? You know, because that's a large task, to be honest with you, you know, and maybe it's just, you know, my opinion is we, you know, the homeless situation, we put a Band-Aid on it. And I think that's kind of, in a sense, what some of the shelters are. They're kind of a Band-Aid that keeps falling off every once in a while. You know, it's temporary. It's not a fix. We're not addressing the root cause of the issue. And I don't think we can address the root cause of the issue as like one big overall picture, because everybody's story is different. Everybody's journey to that place is different. And, you know, my opinion is you literally have to, you would have to interview pretty much every person that comes through there and find out what their story is. And then you can kind of see how you can work with them and so forth and help them, you know, if that's what they truly want. You know, for the people that donate their time and, you know, that work at the shelters as well, you know, paid positions and stuff, I don't think they have the manpower literally to do that. And I don't know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of, you know, a lot of people that come through those doors probably aren't going to sit for that, you know, and everything too. So, I mean, again, you can't force things on people in general. I don't care if you're homeless or not, because when you start forcing people into things, you have unrest and you have people that are, you know, it's just, everything kind of goes haywire. You know, which is kind of ironic because, you know, a lot of people, let me pick my words wisely here, but so most people care only about themselves, not about others. And, you know, you're seeing that a lot in society right now. And when you try to make people that don't feel, that aren't, you know, that are only about themselves and not the bigger picture, you get what you get in society. And I don't need to go into it any deeper because you see it on a daily basis and it's causing a lot of separation among people. You have places that are looking to, you know, secede from this place. And, you know, I think we're in a place right now too, just real quick before I get back on subject, where there was a poll that was done and voters, both Democratic and Republican, want to see, I think it was like 41% of one and 50 some odd percent of another. And I don't remember which side was which, but they want to see everything separated. Democratic states over here, they're doing their own thing. And then Republican states over here, they're doing their own thing. That is just ridiculous. And I will explain it. Just it's ridiculous because it's so easy to segregate society. It's easy to separate things and just, I'm going to be over here in this area because it makes me happy. You guys stay over here in your area because that doesn't make me happy type of thing. And you guys can do whatever you want. It's asinine, literally, because as we move forward in society, all we're doing is creating a bigger divide. We're not communicating. We're not talking. We're basically, you know, everything that, social interaction has gone out the window for the most part. You know, we don't talk. It's just, I don't know. We don't talk about things like we used to. We can't find common ground with somebody else. Look, people, we're always going to disagree on things. That's life. We have different opinions, different beliefs, all this good stuff. But what makes us grow is that we find common ground. We find out how to talk about our problems, you know, or our differences, and find common ground to where we can move forward together. But we don't want to do that. You know, we just want to keep everything separate because it's so much easier to deal with happy life here and you guys didn't have your, you know, happy life over there or whatever. So It's sad. It really is. But again, before it's a whole nother subject here, but you know, back on, you know, back on track. So with, you know, the homeless, you know, problem around, I do have kind of a rough idea of, you know, a small fix, not on a massive scale. I mean, it could possibly work on a massive scale at some point, but, you know, it centers around, I mean, when you are trying to reintegrate people in society, you know, and I don't care if they're coming out of prison, I don't care if they're, you know, homeless or whatever the deal happens to be, or if they've just come out of some really, you know, bad emotional or physical trauma, you know, abuse or whatever, and you try to get them back. You can't just throw a band-aid on it and push them out and, you know, you're going to be fine. It doesn't work that way with everybody. You know, I think, honestly, you need to pull them out of their surroundings. And you need to bring them to a place that is a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more where you can work on them, or work on them, I'm making them sound like a car, work with them, work with them in a place that is just not the city. Let's just put it that way. So my idea is, you know, my idea has been, you know, over the last, well, it's so moving north has been on my radar for a little while now, a few years. But the vision that I've had kind of keeps evolving and so forth. A ranch, basically, you know, a little bit further north, you know, just outside of Flagstaff around Cottonwood area. But for everything that I do, with the Qigong, the, you know, Muay Thai, Muay Boran, and, you know, meditation, Buddhism and stuff like that, you know, are part of this ranch. And, you know, the inclusion of, you know, horses, dogs, you know, animals, which are really great, therapeutic, you know, lost my train of thought here, but, you know, they're really great for, you know, people going through, you know, a lot of trauma in their lives and so forth. So, you know, the ranch essentially would, you know, have these like kind of like tiny homes on the grounds, and, you know, the Muay Thai, Muay Boran area would be kind of set up like, if you went to Thailand and you see a lot of the exposed training facilities and stuff out there out in the open, it would be like that. Now, again, not training people to fight per se, because that's not what this is all about, but that's another story. And then, you know, you kind of have your central, you know, gazebo type thing or whatever building for meditation, yoga, that sort of thing. And then, you know, you kind of have your horses on stalls and stuff like horse stalls and stuff like that. So whether you have horses on site or you bring them in, you know, and work with a rancher or something like that and bring the horses in, you know, for therapy purposes and stuff. And then, you know, dogs as well. So really, my vision kind of grows a little bit more, you know, being around and seeing kind of a little bit more firsthand, you know, the homeless. So my thought and my belief is, if, and again, you would have to have an interview process with this, you know, because you can't just busload a truck of them, or, you know, truck a busload of them up there and, you know, expect everybody to kind of like, change or anything like that. But you would really have to kind of have an interview process, you know, and you probably have only so many openings, you know, and, you know, a set time that you bring them up there away from the city, away from all the crap that's down here, you know, and you work with them in kind of that neutral environment, that more peaceful environment, you know, reintegrating them, you know, helping them get back up on their feet, improve their health, just all this stuff. So, you know, and maybe giving them the option if they want to work on the ranch, you know, you can maybe have a paid position or you can find a job for them in town, or if they want to come back to the city or whatever the deal happens to be. It's just kind of in that kind of like my thought process stage with that. You know, and it's honestly, that thought got spurred by the one gentleman, you know, that I described with the gold wedding ring. And again, for not really, I mean, outside of, well, take your time. I mean, I didn't talk to him. I didn't have a, you know, like an in-depth conversation with him, and, you know, nor did he with me. But it was just, he's kind of that catalyst that just, you know, kind of spurred my mindset in a different way, you know, that I didn't maybe really think about before. And, you know, even if, you know, I mean, even if I pulled it off and maybe I only, you know, could help one or two people, you know, get back up on their feet and improve their health, you know, from a homeless standpoint and stuff. It would be great to do more, but again, that's one or two people that you're helping, you know, it's, and that's the thing is, like, you know, you have to kind of remember, we have to remember, it's not so much about volume, you know, how many people were putting, you know, helping in the, you know, if you help one person, you are changing a life, and that life is going to help change other lives. You know, it's like that domino effect and everything. So, but yeah, it's just, that's kind of where that thought is at, and, you know, everything. And I'm not, you know, the ranch is not, you know, it's not, you know, I don't have that set up yet and stuff. So, I mean, but this is just kind of the vision of, you know, what I've been planning to work towards. But, and again, you know, bringing in homeless and having them stay on site and helping them. And, you know, if they choose, you know, again, interview process, all the phone stuff, but this is just something new, you know, that's just kind of like, kind of spurred my mind, you know, kind of the, there's something here, I believe, you know. And again, if it's only one or two people that are willing, you know, able and want to get back up on their feet, the great, you know. You know, will we ever solve the entire homeless problem puzzle? I don't know. You know, I think that's one of those things that might just be, it's going to have to work out on its own as society changes and stuff. You know, it's just, it's really, it's, I don't want to use, I mean, I don't want to use fascinating and make it sound like, oh, you know, it's because really homelessness is not fascinating. It's, but I think when I say that, it's just more the stories behind people, why people are there, you know, because I think people just in general, a lot of people have interesting stories behind their journeys and everything like that. And it says so much about a person and everything, you know, when they've gone from here down to here or whatever, or from down here to up here, everything. But, you know, it's just, I love helping people. I really do. And, you know, if you can help better somebody's life, there's no greater feeling, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, we are based in a society where, you know, money is king. You know, we need money to, you know, survive, kind of, you know, but, and that's fine as long as money doesn't control you, doesn't become your prime focus. Now some people could argue, you know, the billionaires out there in the snap, but again, whole nother thing, whatever. But for what I'm into, you know, it's, look, I'm not down here, you know, to become this rich billionaire or whatever, you know. That's just not my drive. That's not my focus. You know, my focus is to help people, you know, and across the board, whether you're homeless, whether you're going through trauma, whether you're just trying to improve your life in some way, shape, or form, add something to it that can benefit you. That is my goal. That is my purpose. And I love doing that. I've always enjoyed helping people. I don't think I'll ever shy away from it, you know. And, you know, if in writing my books and stuff like that, you know, money comes in from those angles, that's fine, you know, because a lot of that money is going to be put back into growing my business, you know, expanding my business. I've kind of worked myself in a way into kind of a more minimalist mindset with things. I don't need an opulent house. I don't need this. I don't need that. You know, look, I love, you know, some of the expensive cars and this and that. Some are beautiful pieces of work, you know, from an engineering standpoint. Just not who I am, you know. Five-star dinners at, you know, expensive steakhouses and stuff like that. Again, nothing against the people doing it, but it's just not really what I'm about, you know. I'm more about grilling out in nature, having a bonfire or something like that, and just chilling. You know, I've changed a lot from how I used to be, basically. But so, you know, nature is just that kind of extension, you know, for my business, you know, to where I feel in the right setting, I could really kind of help improve people's lives. And, you know, the whole kind of vision and thought, again, back to homeless people, you know, and stuff, and interviewing, talking with the ones who are willing to sit down with you, and can you help them, can you not, this sort of thing. I mean, because again, it's just people who want change have to have an open mindset. And, you know, otherwise you're going to just start fighting, you know, you're going to butt head. It's just not going to work if somebody doesn't have an open mindset for change, you know. But the one thing I have realized is that just, you know, when I've done events with people, and when I've done things with people here in the city in Phoenix, like hiking or whatever, for the most part, people are still dialed into their daily lives or whatever's going on. Even if they're on that mountain or whatever, or in the park doing Qigong with me, you know, you can tell they're there, but they're not fully there. They're still plugged into, if it's football Sunday, if it's, you know, I still got laundry, I got grocery shopping to do, they're still plugged in because they're still in their immediate area. You know, when you get them out of their zone, so like Sedona is where I've done a lot of things, or, you know, a decent amount, I find people are more relaxed. They're away from their home base or in a place that is just beautiful to begin with, but you're out in nature. You have the scenery around you. So yes, they may still be aware of, hey, you know, I do need to, you know, leave after this to get back down, you know, whatever, I get it, life happens, all that fun stuff. But when they're with me, they're relaxed a lot more than they are down here in the city. Hence my reasoning for moving House of Attilius and kind of creating more of a better, you know, kind of a better environment, a better atmosphere, 2 hours north of Phoenix, out in nature, kind of where it belongs, you know. And again, with, you know, my anonymous homeless man, you know, who I will get his name if I do see him around again and stuff. But he is pretty much the reason for me really kind of thinking in the way of, you know, bringing people up on site, you know, to a ranch and, you know, everything like that. So it's just, everything is kind of interesting right now. You know, I feel like for the most part, I'm moving forward, but I'm still kind of like, kind of a little bit stuck in place. This is not anything bad. It's just, there's so much going on around me right now. There's so much change going on with me. You know, from a mindfulness, you know, meditation standpoint, there's just a lot of stuff going on right now. That is just kind of, some of it's just mind blowing, I guess, in my world, or how I think of it or view it and stuff like that. So it's just, there's a lot, you know, and just trying to keep this balance and stuff like that. But yes, I think, you know, to kind of wrap it up here a little bit, it is definitely, again, the homeless issue is something that is a concern. It has been a concern for a number of years. I think it's only gotten worse here too in recent, you know, years, you know, especially over last year. People are up in arms about it. You have a lot of people that just want to push them, you know, let's just get them off this street. Well, if you get them off this street, where are you pushing them? You're pushing them over here. You're not fixing the problem. You're putting a, you know, a weak ass band-aid on it. You're just shifting it from one area to the next. And then until people get tired of it, them in the new area that you put them in, or, you know, then you're going to move them to a different area and stuff like that. I mean, it's just, you just want it out of sight, out of mind, you know, and you don't want to deal with the problem. You know, sweep it under the carpet just so they're not visible, so they don't, you know, whatever, you know, annoying people or something like that. But you, literally, better system needs to be put in place across the board. And I'm not saying that I have the answer, you know, for bringing anybody up to a neutral area in a ranch for X amount of months or whatever, you know, however it is to kind of work with them. But you know what, I think it's a better, personally, I believe it's a better chance, a better opportunity than what we have going on presently, you know. But that, again, that's just my current belief and stuff like that. You know, somebody, I'm more than happy to have this discussion with anybody, you know, if you think otherwise or whatnot. But the one thing, you know, I'll respect you on your opinion. I respect everybody on their opinion, even if I don't agree with you and stuff, because, you know, your opinion, if it's different from mine, may help me maybe kind of realize something I didn't see before and stuff like that. But the one thing I will not tolerate, and my Buddhist calm will kind of become a little bit stern, if you will, is if you use the word eradicate and homeless in the same sentence. We do not need to eradicate homeless, nor do we need to eradicate anybody. Look it up in the dictionary, look at what the definition is, and explain to me why. If you feel the need to use eradicate, look up the definition. I want you to go back through history. And any conflict or anything that was, you know, where that term was used. And then I want you to come back and sit in front of me and explain to me, with all this information you have on past history use of the word and the definition and so forth, why eradicate is the word you still feel is a proper word to emphasize, you know, the removal of homeless people from the streets. You know, just, we are kind of in a mess, like literally. The world is changing. We need an overhaul. you know, but again, look, don't lose the sight that everybody that is on the streets right now, good, bad, they all came from families. They may still have families out there that they're alienated from. I have no idea. You know, they are still human beings. They are still people like us at the end of the day. Just because they don't hold a job, just because they don't have a roof over their heads, does not make them, you know, just because they don't have money in the bank or whatever, does not make them any less than you and I. And the quicker people view them that way, I think the better off we're going to be as far as working towards a solution, or maybe a few different solutions or, you know, options or whatever, to curbing the homeless population. You know, but again, we need to stop viewing people as not people, I guess, if that makes any sense whatsoever. But again, we got a long ways to go, people. We got a long ways to go to change society, to change mindsets and everything. Some people will never change. It's just that's the way of life, you know, but we got to start somewhere. And everything starts with us. All right. Well, I thank you for listening tonight, guys. And if you have any questions, as usual, feel free to email me or DM me through Instagram, @house_ofAtilius. And if you have any additional questions on the homeless, if you're here in Phoenix, or, you know, and you want some, you know, I can pass you along to the website of the shelter area and stuff, if you're looking to volunteer or anything like that. If you would like me to go down there with you, if you're curious, I will be more than happy to go down there with you, you know, if it makes you feel a little bit more comfortable or anything like that, you know, and stuff. So, but anyways, guys, I hope you have an amazing week. And always remember, true victory is victory over oneself. Let's not forget that. And let's work on ourselves a little bit more each and every day. Have a great night, guys.